Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Phil Embry. I serve our church as member and have been a member here about 4 months. Everyone is invited to stay after following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and refreshments in our fellowship hall, the Kate Worker Room, just through these doors behind me. Excuse me. If you are a newcomer here this morning, we extend to you a special welcome and invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your hymnal and put it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months and let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. If you have children with you this morning, they are invited to attend our religious education program.
That's wrong. I should have deleted that. Skip that section.
Skip that section. All right. Thank you. If you would like to learn more about this church and about Unitarian Universalism, there is an information rack in our fellowship hall, just on the other side of this wall, where there are pamphlets, newsletters, and other visitor information that you are certainly welcome to take home with you. Of course, we encourage you to speak with members to learn more about and encourage current members to seek out visitors and share with them this beloved community. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know yet.
This morning. We have a number of announcements this morning. We have one that says November 8th is our next Kensington Academy Neighborhood Work Day. This is a joint effort between three of our Unitarian Universalist congregations and MSLICE, a grassroots advocacy group active in the neighborhood. Come to help plant trees, mow grass, cut brush, and develop community on November 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with a chili lunch at the end. If you have questions, contact Sarah Lazars. Is Sarah here? No, okay. So contact Sarah Lazars if you have any questions. Starting today, if Pastor Sunshine, that's me, is using Emerson Place at 11:50, the 11:50 Adult Religious Enrichment Group will meet here in the sanctuary. Please bring in chairs to form a circle with the first pew and also used as seating. And please remove the chairs after the group so that the sanctuary is cleared for the 1:30 service, which also leads in today at 11:50. There will be a introduction to the Enneagram, which is a program I'll be leading. The Enneagram is a sort of motivation, way of understanding people's motivations that's hundreds of years old and has a great history, so I encourage you to join us. And one from Mary Johnson, please sign up. Mary, would you stand? Stand up so people can see you. Thank you. Please sign up to usher in November and December. We are no longer handing out Sunday bulletins, but we really need smiling faces to greet people and, of course, to take up the collection, as well as to help newcomers find name tags and help people figure out how to do announcements and all the other things that happen on Sunday. So that is that. Next Sunday will be an annual memorial service. This is where we remember those who have died in the last year, be they family, friends, or pets. We will continue to have this altar, and you are invited to bring pictures or mementos of loved ones who have died in the past year or even before then to include in an altar of remembrance. So if you have somebody that you would like to remember on that Sunday, please bring those mementos. And of course, next Saturday is our Dia de los Muertos. Who are our Dia de los Muertos volunteers? If you'd stand up, we've got a bunch of them, I know. If you're helping with Dia de los Muertos, stand up. Yes, woohoo is right. These folks are working really hard, so. Reading tarot cards. Sabrina's reading tarot cards. I also hear there's a magic, and is Magic the Gathering tournament?
Yes.
Okay.
Kids
or anybody else who loves it. Okay. All right. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements. And we begin our... Okay, sorry. My apologies. Do you want to do the introduction since you're... Okay.
Start a short. Good morning. I'm Karen Wilson. I'm a member of College Avenue Presbyterian Church here in Alton. And I'm also a board member of Partners for Just Trade, or as we usually call it, PJT. PJT is a member of the Fair Trade Federation, which as a member adheres to the Fair Trade Principles. And these principles are, number one, create opportunities for economically and socially marginalized producers. Number two, develop transparent and accountable relationships. Three, build capacity. And in doing that, we just sent someone to Peru to work with the jewelry makers to help them design new products. We promote fair trade. We pay promptly and fairly. We pay half of the cost when we place an order for the products, and then we pay the rest, I think, within like 10 days following it, so after we make sure we have everything in our order. Support safe and empowering working conditions, ensure the rights of children, cultivate environmental stewardship. You'll notice many of the items are made from recycled materials. Respect cultural diversity. PJT imports products from Peru, Haiti, Cambodia, and Egypt. Fair trade is changing the lives of those with whom we work in those countries. One example is Cambodia. An organization called Village Works has begun teaching women to sew. And they're now making beautiful products, such as this handbag, things like this. And these women there's no work in these rural villages, so the women basically would leave the villages and go into the cities to find work. And in the cities, there's most often not able to find work. They don't have things that they could sell like this because they don't have that skill. And they usually end up selling themselves instead of having a life of dignity of working on a product like such as that. In Peru, there's a group of women who make headbands and ponytail holders and things out of materials from a swimming suit factory, the remnants and the scraps, and they use those to make some items. In Haiti, men are making beautiful metal art that they made out of recycled oil drums. Because of this opportunity that they have, because they're getting a fair wage for the products that they make, they're now able to send their children to school. They have better nutrition, obviously, than healthier lives, and this is helping to break the cycle of poverty in those countries. So we hope that after worship this morning that you'll stop by and look at the tables of things that are out there. Take a look. We accept credit cards, checks, and of course cash. And even if you don't wish to purchase anything, I'd like to hopefully that you'll be able to stop by and just at least take a look at some of the things and learn a little bit about what's going on there. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm actually reminded, today is an intergenerational service. This means we have people of all ages in the room. And so for adults, we ask for your patience with children moving around and making noise. It is an excellent spiritual practice to be present despite what's going on around you. So take responsibility for that for yourself. And for our children and youth, I invite you to pay attention to how loud you may be speaking so that others may be able to hear. In other words, it's all of our responsibilities to be in community together. And with that, we begin our service this morning with a prelude.
Thank you.
I actually know the words. I invite Phil and Juliet to model after me. Come on up. Our chalice lighting words. Our chalice lighter this morning is
Larry Johnson.
Or Lane Simpson, as the case may be. So I will say the words and the actions, and then you follow Juliet and Phil in doing them after I say them. You ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. We light this chalice.
We light this chalice.
Symbol of Unitarian Universalism. Okay, let's try that again. Symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us, maybe I do need the thing. Let's see here. This is the Church of the Open Mind.
This is the Church of the Loving Heart.
This is the Church of the Helping Hands.
We take care of the earth
and each other.
Maybe
so. I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 128, For All That Is Our Life. The words will be up on the wall or in your gray hymnal. A story, please be seated.
Elizabeth and her family had just moved to a new town, a small town that felt very different from the big city she had lived in since she was a baby. It was perfectly nice, but Elizabeth was worried. Would her new school be harder than at her old school? Would she make friends as good as those she'd left behind? Luckily, she had one really special friend, a super soft, fuzzy, playful orange black kitten named Pumpkin. Elizabeth spent hours playing with Pumpkin every day. They even slept together at night. Whenever she needed a friend, Pumpkin was there. right there, purring happily at the privilege of being with her favorite human.
Elizabeth was tall for her age and excelled at all kinds of sports and games, but her favorite thing to do was climb trees. As summer waned and school approached, she spent many hours climbing trees near her house. She was lonely and worried, but being in the trees always comforted her. On the very first day of school, they had field day, where all the kids ran races and went through obstacle courses and climbed ropes and shot free throws and all that sort of thing. Elizabeth was awesome. She was the fastest kid in her grade and won almost all the races. She even set a new school record for rope climbing. She was proud of herself, which helped her feel brave enough to start trying to make new friends.
But after her field day triumphs, everyone she tried to talk to was mean to her. The boys who seemed embarrassed to have been beaten by a girl chanted, "Tomboy, tomboy," whenever they saw her. They even pretended she smelled funny, which she didn't. The girls were no better. When Elizabeth asked them to play four square with her, they turned up their noses.
"No, girls only like to play girl games like House and Barbies with girls, not tomboys."
Elizabeth felt terrible. She decided that the only way she would be able to fit in at her new school would be to prove to everyone she was no tomboy. She'd show them she was a real girl.
When Halloween came, she chose a beautiful pink princess gown for her costume. She fixed her hair neatly and put on a shiny pink crown. Her outfit was very uncomfortable compared to her usual jeans and t-shirt, but when she looked in the mirror, she had to admit that she looked just like a princess. Even so, just before she left to go trick-or-treating, she felt fear creep into her belly. What if the other kids were still mean to her, despite her beautiful costume? Tears welled up in her eyes. She looked into the mirror through her tears and said,
"I wish this wasn't a costume. I wish I was one of those princessy girls."
What Elizabeth didn't know that this particular mirror, which they had found in the attic of their new home, was old and powerful. It was a magic mirror, and without even knowing it, granted her wish. Still feeling pretty much like herself, she went outside.
Just then, a roll of thunder cracked in the sky. It was getting very dark. A storm was coming. She saw a bunch of kids standing around the giant oak tree near her house. Elizabeth ran over to the old oak tree and saw that way up high, in the topmost branches, was her best friend, Pumpkin. Pumpkin must have been scared into the tree by the thunder. He had climbed way too high and couldn't get down.
No one seemed to have the courage to climb up the big tree. Elizabeth, who had always been a master climber, took a running start and then jumped for the nearest branch, but she couldn't reach it. She tried again. The thunder was getting louder. Within minutes, the storm would be upon them, but her body felt strangely weak and uncoordinated, as if she had never climbed a tree in her life. She tried and tried, but she just couldn't do it. And then Elizabeth heard a voice in her head. It said, "Princesses don't climb trees." With a shock of recognition, she ran back to the house as fast as she could and went right up to the mirror.
"I don't want to be a princess. I want to be me.
Suddenly, she felt much, much stronger.
She raced back out to the tree and climbed up, reaching her poor, trembling kitten in the blink of an eye. From branch to branch, she hopped, swung, and leapt with incredible agility, always moving, never fumbling or looking down. Once she had scooped Pumpkin gently into one arm, she descended deftly, but carefully, without a moment's pause. Only as she hopped down from the lowest branch did she realize that all the other kids were staring at her in amazement.
No one's ever climbed the big oak tree before. How did you get so good at climbing trees?
I just had some practice. I can give you some tips if you want.
You kidding? Can I pet him?
Sure.
They all crowded around her, petting her now purring cat. No one even noticed Elizabeth's princess gown, although it was a little dirty and torn from climbing. The storm blew over, and they all went trick-or-treating. Most kids stopped being mean to Elizabeth after that. And even when people did call her tomboy, Elizabeth didn't care. She liked herself just as she was. She didn't need to wear a costume or pretend she was somebody else. But sometimes, just for fun, she still puts on her dress and wears it around, though she prefers jeans and a t-shirt. She often wears her crown just because she likes it.
Now I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to church this morning. There will be time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
Hi, I'm Brigham Dimmick. I have a good friend who's I've lived here for 12 years, and he's finally come to see my life here. His name's Brian Chu.
Hi, I'm Joy Heft, and I just wanted to say that Friday was Ken's 50th birthday.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
My name is Ron Glossop. I am very sorry to report to you that Jim Elliott is just not doing well at all. I talked to Phyllis, his wife, on the phone yesterday, and she said, don't bother to come. He won't even know that you're here. And she also indicated that things did not look good for the future. So right now, he needs your good thoughts and everything we can do to help. The situation looks pretty grim right now.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared become a load lightened.
I invite you to take a deep breath in and out, I invite you to take a deep breath in so your neighbors can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. I invite you to get comfortable, get relaxed. I invite you to listen to the sounds around you, to voices and breath and creaking pews, to coloring, to the sounds of the world around you. I invite you to notice the feel of the air on your skin. Think about your pinky toes. How are they feeling today? And your knees, the back of your neck, the tops of your hands. I invite you to take a deep breath in again and exhale. And as you're in this restful place, I want you to imagine your favorite place in the whole world, the place that you love to go beyond all things. It could be a theme park or your bedroom. It could be a forest, an ice cream shop, just your favorite place. While you're in your favorite place, I want you to imagine your favorite thing to do. And imagine doing that favorite thing. Maybe you're singing or eating an ice cream cone or hiking or watching the birds. As you're doing your favorite thing, I want you to notice how you feel. Good. Do you feel happy? Do you feel like laughing? Do you feel good or sad? And as you're in your favorite place, doing your favorite thing, I want you to imagine your favorite person in the whole world. Maybe it's a parent, your mom, or your dad, or a sibling, or your best friend, or your favorite bunny rabbit. Your favorite being in the whole world is there with you in your favorite place, doing your favorite thing. And as you feel yourself doing your favorite thing with your favorite friend in your favorite place, I want you to hold on to that feeling. Whatever that feeling is, if you're feeling good or like laughing or whatever it is. And I invite you to bring it back into this place with you as we celebrate this day in community and love and grace, sharing our best feelings and our best selves with one another, even on those days when we may struggle, when we may feel sad or hurt or in trial. May we know we are not alone. And so I invite you to take a deep breath in and out. And now so your neighbor can hear you, in and out. And one last time, in and out. And as you get to know the song, I invite you to join me in singing. May I be safe. May I be well. May I know joy. May I be free, you. May you be safe. May you be well. free. May it be so. We have it up there. Yes, repeat after me. We come to look on beauty. We come to sing our joy.
We open our mouths.
We come to hear of great deeds.
We open our ears.
We come to share ideas.
We open our minds.
We come to share our love. We're going to do that again, and everybody is going to do the hand motions, right? Right? Okay, let's try that again.
All right, take two.
We come to look on beauty.
We open our eyes.
We come to sing our joy.
We open our mouths.
We come to hear of great deeds. We come to share ideas.
We open our minds.
We come to share our love.
We open our hearts.
I believe church is where we go to practice. Phil, I'll do this. That's okay. Okay. Looking at the overflowing cup, seeing from another perspective, witnessing life in all its fullness, we share from a place of hope and dedication and put our love into tangible form. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given. And as some of you may remember, give until it feels good. You to join me in reciting the offertory blessing printed on the wall. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves, and these are offerings. Ack. It's one thing about being short. Goodness, I don't have coattails. I invite you now to join in singing Where Do We Come From? We did this, I think, in August when I first got here. So we will do it again. In each line, we repeat it twice. So what we'll do is we'll sing each of these twice, and then I'm going to try experimenting with parts. Jim Scott got you to do it, so I know you can. So what are the notes for the first one? Come
from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Let's do that one more time. Where do we come from? Where are we going? So we got it? Sort of, maybe? All right. See the chandelier? Midway down. You folks are going to start us off, and then I'll let y'all know when to come in. You ready? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Okay, I want this half of the room to stand up, as your spirits and bodies allow. I invite you to stretch, and I want you to do this. Ha! Ha! Okay, if you can do that, you can sing this loud and proud. You ready? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? So here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to have you sing that first line over and over and over again. You think you can do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Keep going. Going. This side, stand up. Where? No, for the second one. One. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery.
Perfect. Please be seated. Here's what I know about congregations and singing. They did quite fine, they just don't have any faith in themselves. Of course, Unitarian Universalism faith is complicated. All right, what holiday is this week? Is it Christmas?
Halloween!
I'm sorry, it's what?
Halloween!
Are you sure?
Halloween!
Apparently you're sure.
Yes, very sure.
What do you do on Halloween?
Trick-or-treat!
But what do you have to have on before you can trick-or-treat?
Costume.
Then you're not recognized by costume. You're not recognized by those evil people. Do Unitarian Universalists believe in evil?
No.
Some of them do. I can't see any of you anymore.
You do look like the Lone Ranger.
I do look like the Lone Ranger. Oh boy. Native American looking like a Lone Ranger. Oh boy. Yeah, you'll have to come to the Thanksgiving service for my commentary on that. So, here's the thing about Halloween. We often wear masks, don't we?
Yes.
Can you see what somebody's thinking when they wear a mask?
No.
Why not?
Because if their brain's covered.
Their brain's covered, that's exactly right. Well, up. Am I smiling?
No. Yes.
How do you know?
I don't know, but I'm guessing.
Am I angry?
No.
How do you know?
Because your eyebrows aren't down.
Apparently I need to fix the mask. Am I sad?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because you're not crying.
Because I'm not crying. Oh, you children. All right. Here's the thing. When you wear a mask, you don't actually get to see the authentic person, right? You don't get to see their face. You don't get to see who they are. You get to see the face that they put forward.
Okay.
Give me a minute. Masks aren't very good for microphones.
They kill them.
They kill them. Yeah. So the thing with masks is they can feel very safe because they cover who we authentically are, whatever's going on inside of us. We could be brokenhearted, but if we're wearing a mask, you don't know how I'm feeling. Now, how many of you have worn a mask without wearing an actual physical mask? Where you think you actually feel one way, but to the rest of the world, you put a mask on and pretend you feel a different way. Has folks experienced that? Does it feel good when you do that?
No.
No. It's not a very comfortable place to be. Now, it isn't to say that it is important to try on new identities now and then. We want to try on the things, the different ways of being in the world and those kinds of things. So what I recommend instead is taking the mask off and putting on a hat instead. A hat can let you play any role you like. But you can see my face. I can wear the hat and still be sad. And you know how I'm feeling. I can put on the hat and be happy. Ooh! And you know how I'm feeling. Even though today, apparently, I'm wearing a bowler hat. Whatever that means. You know, or I could be short-haired and try on, you know, long hair for a little bit. What do you think? Made me old? Right, so I can try on being old for a little while, even though I'm not, and still authentically be me. Or try on being a witch. If only I had my Quidditch broom. I left it at home. Quidditch broom, yeah. But the deal is that I am fully present to you. The reason why I talk about this is because I think we live in a world today that encourages us to wear the mask and not the hat. Right? You can keep the mask, it's fine. Just don't break it. Here, you want one too? All right. And so in this society, we need to encourage people to kind of throw that mask away. Let it be something we play with, but not something we wear daily. And to try instead wearing hats. And so I wear different hats in my life. When I go home, I am not minister. My family will never, ever see me as a minister, believe me. Most of them are evangelical. I am, you know, Sunshine, the 10-year-old that they knew. I am Sunshine, the troublemaker. I am Sunshine, the one who, you know, left the family. The kinds of things, you know, the stories that you hear, you know. But I'm still authentically me. I wear a different hat with my family than I do when I'm at school or when I'm at church, when I'm preaching with you here. I cuss quite frequently around my family. I don't do that in the pulpit. That's a different hat. So I encourage you to think about the hats you wear and the masks you wear. And ask yourself, can I take off the mask and still wear the hat? Can I still try on the different role and be honest and true? And that's exactly right. The answer is yes. So I invite you to share your hats widely and freely. Whee! Try them on, experiment. Try on new identities. Don't always be you. But take off that mask. Be honest and true. And so may it be. So for our closing hymn, we're going to sing a song called Tula Clasio. Tula Clasio is how it says. Say Tula Clasio.
Tula Clasio.
Nala Pase.
Nala
Pase. Kaya.
Kaya.
Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Who knows Ladysmith Black Mombasa? Any Ladysmith fans? Yes. So Jason Shambalala is the person who wrote this song. Jason is a South African, and in the 80s and 90s, South Africa was living with apartheid. And musicians got in a lot of trouble because they would wear their hats and sing the truth. And the South African government wanted them to wear masks and pretend the truth wasn't there. And so they kicked him out of South Africa, and he came to the United States. But he was feeling awfully lonesome. He was missing home. Can you imagine being kicked out of your house and you can't be with your parents anymore or with your toys or your things that you love in your house?
No.
It's not fun at all. And that was what was going on with him, and he was feeling particularly brokenhearted. And then this piece of wisdom from his homeland came to him. And it means, even here, I am at home. Even here, I am at home. No, because wherever your body is where home is. Wherever you are at home. So I hope that you are at home here and now. And this is a lively, energetic song, so I'm going to invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. I'm going to invite you to take a step to the left. I'm going to invite you to take a step to the right. And as those of you who were at the rally a couple weeks ago know, I just made you dance. You used your dance. It happens. And so I invite you, as we get into the song, to move around a little bit. This is supposed to be a fun, energetic song. To try on a different hat. If this is not the hat you normally like to wear, this is a good opportunity to try on a new hat. Even here, we are at home. So, Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya notes. What's the low note? Tuzio, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Tula Clasio, Nala Pase Kaya. Hey, Kaya. Anybody like jazz? Anybody like rhythm and blues?
Yes.
This isn't, you know, gather the spirit. This is rhythm and blues. This is jazz. So we're going to pause on the piano for a minute because I think it makes us think we want to be a little light and fluffy, and we don't. Sing it with the belly of your stomach with that air. Tu la clasio na la passe caia. Tu la clasio na la passe caia. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Really get into that. Hey. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Yell it. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. One more time. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Tu la clasio, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. Hey, Kaya, Nala, Passe, Kaya. You're all like, just stop making me sing. Ah. I invite you to face across the aisles down the chandelier here. Face each other. Smile at people you do not know. Or people you know well. Offer your joy and your comfort. Even here we are at home. Here we take off the masks. We put on a hat that we may not wear during the week. For we are our true selves. People saying yes to life, yes to each other, yes to the world. In a world of fear-mongering and no-ness, we say yes to life. So may we be together in this day and in the days to come, knowing that we are not alone.
No.
May it be so. Blessed be.